The Old Testament reading is from the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Then the angel who talked with me returned and wakened me, as one is wakened from sleep. He asked me, "What do you see?" I answered, "I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lamps on it, with seven channels to the lamps. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left." I asked the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my lord?" He answered, "Do you not know what these are?" "No, my lord," I replied. So he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." Hear the word of the Lord.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew chapter 1, commencing at verse 12. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, Abiud the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Akim, Akim the father of Eliud, Eliud the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Matthan, Matthan the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Alan chose a good day to start on the bowl reading roster, didn't you, Alan? Let's pray, shall we? Lord God, we thank you so much for your amazing word, and we thank you, Lord, that words spoken many, many years ago have such incredible relevance for us here today. We pray, Lord, that as we reflect upon those words, Lord, that you would speak to us into our very hearts and move us and shape us. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this is my trusty assistant today, Libby. Give her a big warm welcome, won't you? bring it up here. Kelv, do you want to help, mate? Someone in my family has really weird dreams. And it's not me. My dreams are pretty normal. Do you know what I dream about? I dream about going to a French test and forgetting all my French. Have you had that dream? I dream that I can fly and then I wake up and I'm really disappointed. I dream that I really need to go to the toilet, but I can't find a toilet anywhere. Have you had that dream? I have really normal dreams, but this member of my family, well, their dreams are just weird. This would be a normal dream for them. A thin monkey walks into a newsagent covered in ice to buy grapes from a pink elephant who is bouncing her yo-yo singing American Pie. That is a normal one of her, the anonymous member of my family. And I'm sure they wouldn't mind sharing other dreams afterwards. Well, one night the prophet Zechariah has a weird dream. In fact, he has eight of them on the one night. It's a night in the year 520 BC, the same year that we've been hearing the prophecies of Haggai. It's during the time that they're rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. And Zechariah has a whole bunch of these amazing dreams. He has a dream about brown and red and white horse. He has a couple of dreams about horses. He has a dream about four horns. He has a dream about a woman in a basket. He has a dream about this scroll that sort of flies through the air. He has a dream about a man with a great long tape measure. Amazing, amazing dreams. And you can read about them in Zechariah chapter 1 through to chapter 6. Now, normally if you had crazy dreams like that, you'd just think, oh, well, I ate something funny. But no, these dreams of Zechariah are God dreams. Each of these things that he sees are things that God is wanting him to see, and he is given an interpretation of what they mean. An angel reveals to him what it is that he needs to get out of them. Today we're looking at just one of these eight dreams. It's a dream of a golden lampstand, and you can see it in Zechariah chapter 4. Would you open your Bibles? You'll be able to see it very practically in a moment. And Libby, you've got all the time in the world, don't rush. It'll slowly emerge as we read it. But let's read it together, this amazing vision in Zechariah chapter 4, verses 1-3. Then the angel who talked with me returned and woke me up like someone awakened from sleep. He asked me, "What do you see?" I answered, "I see a golden lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lamps on it, with seven channels to the lamps. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and one on its left." Can you see it? Olive tree on the right, olive tree on the left. There's this bowl in the middle. And under this is this menorah candle, this lampstand with seven lamps upon it. And these olive trees are pouring out their oil, as it were, into this reservoir. And this reservoir then takes the oil to each of the seven lamps. Interesting dream, isn't it? It's a bit more interesting than forgetting all your French at your French exam. But what does it mean? Well, if you're not sure really what it means, then you're in good company, because Zechariah wasn't too sure either. If you read down there at verse 4 and 5, it says, "I asked the angel who talked to me, 'What are these, my Lord?' And he answered, 'Don't you know what they are?' 'Nah.' 'No, my Lord,' I replied." Well, to understand this dream, you'd have to understand and remember a couple of passages in Scripture. And I'm going to take you there now. You see, way back when Moses received the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai and all the other laws, he was told to build this thing called the tabernacle. The tabernacle was like this movable temple. It was a temple before they had the temple. And inside this tabernacle, there was to be a golden lampstand. And you find about it, you read about it in Exodus chapter 25. It was the place where Moses met with God. It was the place where God's presence on earth dwelt at that particular time in history. And this lampstand that's described sounds very similar to the lampstand that is described in Zechariah chapter 4. Come with me to the place where God tells Moses to build this lampstand. Exodus 25. I'm just reading a couple of verses, 31 and 32 and 37 to 39. That's all relevant for us today. "Make a lampstand of pure gold. Hammer out its base and shaft, and make its flower-like cups, buds and blossoms of one piece with them. Six branches are to extend from the sides of the lampstand, three on one side and three on the other. Then make it seven lamps and set them up on it so that they might light the space in front of it. Its wick trimmers and trays are to be of pure gold. A talent of pure gold is to be used for the lampstand and all these accessories. The lampstand here, which is made of pure gold with its seven lamps across it, is meant to be a light for the place where Moses went to meet with God. And they used as the fuel olive oil. So what would the priest would do, they'd have to go in and make sure that this olive oil was there, ready for the candles to make sure they were always burning. Exodus 27 and verse 20, we have the command. Command the Israelites to bring you clear oil of pressed olives for the light, so that the lamps may be kept burning. In the tent of meeting, outside the curtain, that shields the Ark of the Covenant law, Aaron and his sons are to keep the lamps burning before the Lord from evening till morning. So this lampstand that stood before the presence of God needed to be kept on being topped up by the priest to make sure there was enough olive oil in there. Now what I want you to do is just contrast that with the vision from Zechariah. Do you see the difference? There's a massive, massive difference. In Zechariah's dream, you've got these olive trees on either side, and they are putting in the oil to this reservoir so that there's always oil available. These lamps, they're never going to go out. These oil comes automatically, it comes spontaneously. They don't need any priests to come in from time to time to check on the wicks and to add the olive oil. No, this olive oil will flow. It'll flow spontaneously and almost automatically. And this oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Have a look at Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6 when this is explained to us. Zechariah says, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." You see, Zerubbabel's trying to build the temple. He's trying to recruit the workers and encourage the workers. He's trying to make sure this temple is being built, but it's just hard work. It's laborious work. There's opposition from outside and there's half-heartedness from inside. It's just hard work. And Zerubbabel must have been tempted to give up time and time and time again. And so the Lord here gives this message of encouragement to Zerubbabel. He says, the temple is going to be built, but it's going to be built only because of my spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, by my oil flowing through. The angel goes on, verse 7. What are you, mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you'll become level ground. Then he'll bring out the capstone to shouts of, God bless it, God bless it. And then the word of the Lord came to me. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. The angel speaks to all these obstacles in Zerubbabel's way, all these obstacles that lie down. He calls these obstacles a mighty mountain, and he says to those obstacles, you're nothing. You're going to be level ground. No obstacle is going to thwart God's plan. Nothing. If God wants to build a house for his glory, for his presence to dwell, then God will empower his people to build that house. This isn't a matter of human might or human power, but a work of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. This temple that God had charged the road or build will be built not because of human machinations or human plans, but by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And that's what this vision meant for the people in Zerubbabel's day. If you ever study the Old Testament, you'll know that there's always an application for the people right then and there. It always says something to the people then. But as you read the Bible, you see that these ancient prophecies that have a fulfillment back then also have a fulfillment later on. And this prophecy in Zechariah 4 is no different. For 520 years later, appeared someone in the line of Zerubbabel. And we heard that from our reading from Matthew just before. Someone comes in the line of Zerubbabel. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel the father of Abihad. Abihad the father of Eliakim. Eliakim the father of Azor. Azor the father of Zadok. Zadok the father of Akim. Akim the father of Elihad. Elihad the father of Eleazar. Eleazar the father of Matan. Matan the father of Jacob. And Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Mary was the mother of Jesus, who's called Messiah, anointed one, one filled with the oil, with the Spirit of God. And this descendant of Zerubbabel, this new Zerubbabel, is called in the Bible the capstone, the cornerstone, the one in whom all the whole building is put together. He is the one who is filled with God's oil, with God's Spirit, who was able to complete God's plan, and he does that as he dies and rises again, as he establishes a kingdom that will last forever. Ephesians chapter 3, just listen. Ephesians chapter 2, just listen to this description of who Jesus is and what Jesus came to do. Verse 19, consequently, we are no longer foreigners and strangers, chapter 2, verse 19, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And friends, today, God is at work building his kingdom by making disciples. As we, his people, are empowered by his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is now at work in the world, opening hearts and minds to the knowledge of Jesus, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He's drawing people to himself, John 6. He's making people to be born again, John 3. And he's at work in the life of believers, isn't he? Teaching us, encouraging us, John 14. He's leading us on his Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 8. And he's giving us new power to speak the word, Acts 1. And he is giving to us courage, and he guarantees by that same Spirit that we will be with him on that last day, Ephesians chapter 1. His Holy Spirit is at work in us today as he empowers us to build God's kingdom. Today, God is at work building his kingdom as we make disciples, as we receive his Holy Spirit power. I want you to just to think just for a moment about the nation of China. Because God is at work in China right now building his kingdom. People are being made, disciples are being made, people are being empowered by God's Holy Spirit. 100 years ago, there were 2 million Christians in China, or thereabouts. Today, 100 years on, there are 100 million. There are more people who go to church on Sunday in China than all of Europe. And it's on track in 15 years to be the largest Christian nation on earth. 15 years. Some people have said that the church in Australia will be saved by Chinese congregations. Of course, that's not something that the Chinese government wants to tolerate. And as we speak, churches are being closed. Crosses are being torn down from buildings. Christmas celebrations are being stopped. And the Chinese government are developing a new Bible. They've taken one off eBay. You can't get one over there easily now. And they're designing their own new Bible, which has special comments from certain Chinese influencers. Which, of course, means more in line with communism. One commentator says the goal of the crackdown is not to eradicate religion. The president is trying to establish a new order on religion, suppressing its blistering development. Last year, there was a pastor, a famous pastor. If you've been on the internet, you would have probably heard of him, Pastor Wang Yi, pastor of the New Reign Covenant Church. He, along with 100 members of his congregation, were arrested. He's still in prison as we speak. And he knew that he was going to go to prison. I don't think the Holy Spirit told him. I think it was pretty obvious. He said some things which were perhaps a little critical. But he did it because he felt that was what God had called him to do. And he wrote a letter, a manifesto, whatever you want to call it. And I'm going to read just a portion of it here today. When you get home, please go and look it up. You see it in full. But I'm just going to read a portion of you today. I think it's just brilliant. This is what he says. This is what he writes. If God decides to use the persecution of this communist regime against the church to help more Chinese people to despair of their futures, to lead them through a wilderness of spiritual disillusionment, and through this to make them know Jesus, then I'm joyfully willing to submit to God's plan, for his plans are always benevolent and good. If I'm in prison for a long or short time, if I can help reduce the authorities' fear of my faith and of my Saviour, I am very joyfully willing to help them in this way. I hope that God uses me by means of first losing my personal freedom to tell those who've deprived me of my freedom that there is an authority higher than their authority, that there is a freedom that they cannot restrain, a freedom that fills the church of the crucified and risen Jesus Christ. Separate me from my wife and children, ruin my reputation, destroy my life and family. The authorities are capable of doing all these things. However, no one in this world can force me to renounce my faith. No one can make me change my life. No one can raise me from the dead. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living, eternal God. He died for sinners and rose to life for us. He's my King and the King of the whole earth, yesterday, today, and forever. I am his servant, and I am imprisoned because of this. I will resist in meekness those who resist God, and I will joyfully violate all laws that violate God's laws. The Lord's servant, Wang Yi. How's that, eh? Friends, no obstacle is going to get in the way of God's plan. No obstacle at all. Not persecution, and not anything else. And Wang Yi, he understands that. He's been under pressure, but he knows that God is about to build his kingdom for his glory by making disciples of people empowered by the Spirit, and no one, no government can stop that. No one. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Friends, we can so easily overestimate what we are able to do by ourselves. And we are so easy able to underestimate what God can do when he empowers us by his Spirit. And I'm guilty of that as much as the next person. We overestimate what we can do in our own power and underestimate what God can do as he empowers his people. God calls us, he's calling us today to cooperate with him. He's calling us to keep in step, in line with his Spirit. If our ministry programs are to grow and flourish, then we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. If this third service on a Sunday is going to be successful and thrive, then we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. If our Alpha program is going to win people to Christ, then we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Friends, just as Zerubbabel need this oil flowing from the olive trees into this reservoir that never ran out, so too we need to be filled afresh with God's Holy Spirit, this oil of God and his joy. We're weak, but he is so strong. I want to invite us to come before the Lord this morning and to ask that he would empower us afresh with his Holy Spirit. We've got a job to do. We've got disciples to make. We've got a kingdom to grow. But we've been given his Holy Spirit to empower us. Let's come before him this morning and seek him. I'm going to invite you, if your knees are up to it, to get on your knees with me and just open your hands out as a gesture that you want to the Lord, as we come in humility, just to fill us afresh with his Holy Spirit. If you're not comfortable doing that here today, then just sit in your seat and relax as we pray to our great, awesome God. Oh, Lord God, we thank you for this amazing person called Zerubbabel. And we thank you, Lord, for this vision that you gave to him of these olive trees that provide the oil for the lamps to never run dry. And we thank you, Lord, that you taught Zerubbabel about the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would achieve your purpose, you would build your temple because of the ministry and the empowering of the Spirit. We thank you, Father, for that. We thank you that you came through for him. That which he started, he was able to complete using your power. We thank you, Father, that you answered his prayers. You strengthened the workers and you brought it about to completion. And we thank you, Lord God, that those 500 years passed and your son came. And he was the Zerubbabel of all Zerubbabels, the one who would build the kingdom and build the church. Kingdom that would never end. A kingdom that would be unstoppable. We thank you, Lord, that we are part of that kingdom, that you are building us together to become this holy temple in the Lord. And Lord, we pray this morning that you would fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, that we would be able to make disciples of Jesus. Lord, we can't do it by ourselves. You said, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. And we claim that promise for us today, Lord. Holy Spirit, fill us. Come and inspire us afresh as us as individuals, as us as a church, Lord. Build us. Build us up, Lord. We come in humility today. We come with our own frailties, but we come confessing that you are strong, that you're our Saviour, that you are the capstone, the cornerstone, Lord Jesus, and that which you start, you finish. Finish your work in us, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and invade us, invade our lives. overflow us. Make us lamps in this world that reflect you, Lord Jesus, the light of the world. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Come, Holy Spirit, fall afresh on me. Fill me with your power. Satisfy my need. Only you can make me whole. Give me strength. Fresh on me.